Welcome back, everybody. I have a very exciting guest with me today, an entertainer and internet personality who will, unfortunately, be talking to me about sports. Tyler Sheen. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Sheed or Scheid?
Scheid.
Scheid. Tyler Scheid.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Thank you. It's a German last name. It's very complicated because it's got the S-C-H in it.
Right. Yeah.
And then it goes E-I-D because I before E except after C, but there's an H in between. So
right.
That confuses the.
And, you know, that's why I asked because I would have never known otherwise.
I get it all the time. Believe it or not, I was at a wrestling match in mm-hmm. high school. So I wrestled in high school.
Mm-hmm. Sports. We're going right in.
You brought it up. So it made me think of it. They called my name for a match, but they didn't pronounce my name right. They said Tyler Schneeld.
What?
So they added an N and an L. And so I was like, and then the weight class went by and I'm like, huh, I guess I didn't have a match this round. I could have sworn I did. And I found out they DQ'd me because I didn't show up for my match. And so my coach went up to them and he's like, you never called his name. And they're like, yeah, we did. And I'm like, look at that name. Look at that name. Does it have an N or an L? And he's like, and I'm like, give him this match right now. And he's like, well, we already DQ'd him. And it's like, that's not fair.
It's not fair. No. And it's, they didn't even try.
No.
It was like not even close.
Yeah. But you know, when you've got volunteers running stuff,
right.
Stuff falls through the cracks.
That is so very true. Incredibly true. Well, welcome. I'm very excited to hang out with you today a little bit. You have so many things that you do online. I tried to put them all in the intro and then I settled on entertainer and internet personality, but you are a producer. You stream, yep. You do YouTube,
mm-hmm.
You are co-host of a podcast.
I like to say I am the host. Mark is just a reoccurring guest.
Just a reoccurring guest.
He even said this himself because there's so many episodes where Mark isn't even present. So it really is my podcast.
Okay.
And Mark's like, yeah, it's just yours. And I'm just here to represent the audience of not knowers about sports.
Gotcha. Well, it's called Go My Favorite Sports Team.
Yes.
With Markiplier.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us if nobody... If you are introducing yourself and your online internet footprint to someone who didn't know you, how would you describe yourself?
That's such a fascinating question.
Isn't
how would
it?
I?
You do so many things that I was
usually
like, let me see what you think of your internet persona.
I like to say that I'm a writer, actor, producer, and internet personality. Usually internet mm-hmm. personality is the first thing because I've done so many different things across the internet from improv, acting, producing, really like being an assistant as well as like a creative director, as well as a manager.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of things under my umbrella and a lot of things that even the internet doesn't know that I've done and worked on.
Really?
Yeah.
And we talked about music before we even started.
Yeah.
You also do music.
Yeah, that's something I've never really put out that much. But during streams, during COVID and stuff, I was teaching myself guitar and I would just play improvised music and like happy birthday tunes to my audience.
Mm-hmm.
But back in 2013... I wrote an original song that has never seen the light of day with a good friend of mine named Alex.
Mm-hmm.
And this was while I was in grad school. But it even goes back further than that because I did a whole bunch of stuff. Like I met Mark or got closer to Mark through band. And I was only in band playing trumpet and we both played trumpets for like a summer and then 1 year after. And then I stopped doing that. But I also, even further back, I used to draw.
Oh, okay.
I went to extracurricular art classes, and then I quit that because I had to choose between that and sports.
Mm.
And sports is where friends were.
Gotcha.
And I used to be an extreme extrovert. COVID changed that a little bit. But...
Yeah, it did for me too. I was also an extrovert and sort of lost some skill points
yeah
during COVID.
It's weird.
It is.
It's really weird.
It is weird because you expect yourself to perform a certain way in situations and then you don't. And you're like, whoa, wait a second. Why like, did I fail that dialogue option? What happened? That wasn't supposed to go that way.
Why am I kind of nervous and socially awkward now?
Yeah. Yes. It did that to me too. I feel like this podcast has really been helping me. I make jokes that it's like The Sims and I'm training charisma. Like as I'm doing the podcast episodes, I'm getting better and better.
Just make sure you don't drop yourself in the pool and remove the ladder.
Right, exactly. No, I'm just talking to myself in the mirror instead.
Are you one that would woo the Grim Reaper though?
Yeah, I mean, I tried. I certainly tried.
I matches did my the best. Energy. We were talking earlier that your wardrobe is like, it's white or black. White
yeah,
or
black. It really is. It's funny. It's all white, black, or like dark green, like beige okay. tones of colors. And then I got a professional color analysis done in K-Town.
Fascinating.
And they were like, yeah, your color tones are... basically, they said it doesn't matter what the color is, but the saturation should be low.
Okay.
So, like, more muted color tones, which is already everything in my closet. So I was like, I'm way ahead of you.
You here. Understood the assignment yeah, before given this.
Exactly. Exactly. But it was interesting.
Yeah.
An interesting experience.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
You have me already thinking what colors would bring out your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I used to shop with my mom all the time, I helped her. Yeah, I like shopping. It's very rare for a dude. I love
shopping too. It is rare for a dude. It's so sad to me when I go into a mall and I see a bunch of guys like sulking around benches and like sitting around like waiting, you know what I mean? Or on their phone. Like, you guys could be having fun right now. What if you, but obviously I can't make anyone enjoy anything, but life seems more fun if you're having fun shopping together, in my opinion.
Yeah, I actually went shopping with my friend Maisie before the early screening of Iron Lung. Because I wanted to get an outfit and I didn't want to use like a classic suit.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually got like this leather jacket and I had a turtleneck and a few different things. But she got really mad at me because I picked out clothing better on her than she was picking out for herself.
Stop, really?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
She has worn like the two particular things. I'm like, you have to get those.
Uh-huh.
Twice. And one of them was we were walking by and I'm like, Maisie, that. And she looks and she's like, I don't know. And I'm like, trust. And she put it on. I was like, stop. How are you better at this than I am? I'm like, I don't know.
Okay, so personal stylist, I'm adding to your list of things that you're really good at.
Oh, director. I've done that too. Live
and
directing.
Director. See, the world is your oyster, really.
I wish I got paid more for most of it.
That just comes with time and age, I think.
So I keep getting older.
And it's not going up. Like, what are we doing?
Hollywood, this is your fault.
What the fuck, guys? Well, tell me about your screen name. It's Apocalypto 12.
Uh-huh.
And that is your YouTube and Instagram, I know.
Yes, I've actually been working on switching them to my real name.
Really? But, okay.
Yeah, so that's why my Twitch has switched over and stuff.
Gotcha.
But that's my gamer tag.
Okay.
And it came about in high school.
Uh-huh.
This is so funny. I used to be more of an angry guy.
Okay. That's surprising because before this started, we were talking about gratitude journals and what we're thankful for and complimenting ourselves, and that this year you're going to work on negative self-talk. And
yes. So no self-deprecating humor.
Yes. I wish I could also make that my 2026 resolution, but
who says you can't?
I don't think I'm ready. I'm not committed to that yet.
Fair. It's a step process.
It feels like part of my personality still. I'm not ready to let go of it. How will I be fun in parties?
You're fun at parties anyway.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But your screen name.
Yeah. So... For one, I was actually a bully growing up because I was being bullied. And this goes into a longer story, but freshman year of high school, I was playing, hanging out with my friends. Mm-hmm. It was a group of friends. It was like, one of which is a content creator himself. Wade is a good friend of mine. And we were at his house, well, his parents' house at the time. And randomly they decided, hey, how about we just play poker? But for no money, just for fun.
Sure.
And so they bring out the poker chips and we go around. And if you know anything about poker, if there's no stakes, just bet it all, right?
Yeah.
We go around like 3-4 hands. Uh-huh. They argue it was 2. And everyone's just betting red chips. And it's just red chips, which is the lowest chip. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I just get fed up. I'm like, guys, it's not even for anything. Can somebody just bet something? And they're like, well, we don't have anything. And I was like, who cares? And he's like, well, you're not. And I'm like, well, I don't have anything. And so I had this whole like crash out. Okay. And so then everyone started just being, calling me, somebody called me, all right, Death on Legs, all right, this nickname, all right, Grim Reaper, all this stuff. And then the next morning, after we had done all this, because we eventually stopped playing poker because of my crash out, and it was, I said it was stupid.
Okay.
And so I get a call from my friend the next morning. He's like, dude, I finally got it. Apocalypto. And now keep in mind, this is in 2003.
Okay.
The movie Apocalypto came out in 2005.
Okay.
They stole it from
me. They made it about you.
Yes. They stole my name.
They owe you royalties, it sounds like.
So at the time, I got my PlayStation 3. I couldn't think of a gamer tag. Apocalypto came up. My number was 12 in water polo. And the reason for that was one was for team, two was for self, putting the team before my own ambitions as an athlete. And so Apocalypto 12 was born.
And it's still alive today.
Yes. The crash out less than much.
The crash out's gone. I swear. I swear.
I still have a crash out occasionally, okay? But it's over more complicated things.
We all deserve a crash out every now and then, I think.
Yeah. But anytime I'm having a crash out, my friend Wade goes, God, who showed Tyler red? Who gave him red chips?
Oh, no.
He has to call it back to the original time.
It sounds like a villain in Spider-Man or something.
Right?
Yeah.
So I thought it was really cool because it was like, well, if I'm beating somebody in Call of Duty or something else, you were killed by Apocalypto.
Yeah, it's
the bringer
sick
of the apocalypse.
Yeah. It's pretty sick.
Yeah.
It's a good screen name. But you're switching everything over, so you prefer people to call you Tyler.
Well, that's what I've been known by more often than not. Mm-hmm. Because back when I actually started appearing on Mark's channel, the first time I appeared was back in 2012 for a charity stream he did, right after I had my first knee surgery on my right knee, which is really funny because I was running to get him Red Bulls while I was on crutches.
Oh my God.
And I'd walk into his kitchen and then his mom, who is incredibly hilarious and lovely, is offering me a ton of food. Uh-huh. And I'm like, it's okay. I just need to get this Red Bull to Mark.
I'm like doing my best, like hobbling back to the stream.
Yes, which is really funny. But then 2015, he invited me out as a thank you for being supportive of him when his like AdSense went down and encouraging him to just create a new YouTube channel. And thus, Markiplier was born. So he invited me out to California. We filmed some stuff together, some of which will never see the light of day because it was filmed with, at that time, was Syndigo. And unfortunately, one of the members passed away.
Oh.
And so they decided all the content we recorded, we would not post it. Mm-hmm. But then in 2016, I had finished grad school, got my master's degree, couldn't find a job. I was selling new cars and working at Dick's Sporting Goods.
Okay.
And Mark calls me and says, hey, you want to come out and work with me? And my mom was like, you can't pass up this opportunity. Like, if you don't do it, you'll wonder what if. So go.
Mm-hmm.
And so, sure enough, I come out here, and the first big project I was ever a part of was producing a date with Markiplier.
No way!
My first ever production.
Wow. And had you done producing before that?
No.
No? Trial by fire. That's zero crazy. Experience.
The craziest part is I had 2 days to figure out locations and everything. Uh-huh. Got it all together, got all the costumes, all the props, and it was all done.
You seem very so methodical, fast. So I feel like you would crush that.
There is one thing, though, that uh-huh. I forget every single time.
What is it?
I always will forget one item or one random thing that's not as important but ends up being important. Mm-hmm. And it bites me in the ass every time. Oh, because God. I'm perfect. I'm so in tune. I'm so in tune. Oh, yeah, I forgot that one thing.
Oh, my God. Oh, but is it different every time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It depends on what it was. So like when we filmed Who Killed Markiplier, which is another production of mine, mm-hmm. I forgot a harness for a fall sequence for the GoPro, which looking back on it, we didn't really need it. We could have just duct taped it to him, but
yeah.
You know, one little thing. I packed everything. I've planned everything, every contingency, and I forget one little thing.
Right. Well, it is the name of the game, I feel like. You do have to forget one thing.
The funny part is, one day it was my pants.
What?
I was wearing gym shorts, to be clear. But we needed pants because it was a sequence at a theater and I was supposed to be doing something. So in the scene, there's an Easter egg. I'm not wearing pants.
Oh my God.
And I'm hiding behind a desk because I do not have pants on. But the funniest thing is before that, we're outside and we have to like secretly shut the doors behind as the camera moves. Uh-huh. And so I go from being outside where there's traffic to running inside to get behind the desk.
Stop.
And there's like a couple of frames where you just see that the shirt is untucked and out to the side because I have no pants on.
Oh my God. That's incredible. That's the best one. I don't think you can top that. What else could you forget?
Who knows? Come to my next production. You'll find out.
Mark himself, if it was about him, would be the only thing.
Nah, Mark forgets
that.
His stuff all the time. I don't need to worry about it. He just shows up.
Good. Because losing him would be, I think, production ending.
If it's for his channel, absolutely.
Right, exactly. So how long have you been in California now?
It will officially be a decade in September.
Wow.
So 9 years and like 3-4 months now.
And are you happy that you came?
Yes. I mean, I wouldn't have any of this career or anything if not. I feel very blessed and very honored to have met the people that I've met and made friends with some fantastic people, including yourself.
Thank you.
And been a part of some incredible projects, including like the Improv World Tour that we did, the charity productions that I did with Tiltify with like Steve Buscemi, Jack Black, Post Malone and stuff like that. So
yeah, you've lived a very enriched life, I'll say. Even just trying to nail down what to talk about, I have so many more note cards than I normally do. I normally have 3 or 4, and I think there's 6. It's like there's so much going on. You do so many things. It's so cool. How do you find the time? How do you figure out what you want to work on?
That's the hardest part, and that's the biggest thing I'm trying to nail down. For the longest time, I've always loved helping other people achieve what they want to create or what they want to do. Mm-hmm. And I've always been big on giving back to the community, giving back to people that mm-hmm. otherwise haven't had the experiences I've had, mainly because that's how I was raised. I went through Boy Scouts. I became an Eagle Scout, so doing service projects. But also, I've been in and out of hospitals since I was born. Mm-hmm. I was born with kidney disease, hereditary nephritis. And I've been able to see both sides, from hospital stays to doing studies to being a trainer for nurses doing IVs for the first time. Like, you get to see the full world. And the greatest thing that I say my mom gave me is my mom actually grew up incredibly poor, like dumpster diving for food poor.
Wow.
And she set out as a mission to make sure my brother and I never like had anything like that. Mm-hmm. She wanted us to live in the same house, which my dad still lives in the house that we moved into when I was 1 year old.
Wow.
She made sure that like we went on ski trips every spring break because that's was a bond between my mom and her dad. My mom and my dad was skiing. And so like we didn't have cable television. We didn't like waste money. We were very frugal. My brother and I had to band together to buy our first like video game set, which was the N64. Mm-hmm. We had a Super Nintendo. I think that was a gift when we were younger, but we wanted the N64.
Yeah.
Which is really funny because my dad was like, no, get the PlayStation 2, PlayStation 2. And in hindsight, he was right.
Hey, Nintendo 64 and PlayStation 2, I think, are on par.
Yes, but longevity, the PlayStation 2 had more.
That's true. That
whereas
is true.
The N64 got paced out, plus PlayStation 2 was backwards compatible.
That's fair.
But I also grew up, my dad was big into computers, so I actually played computer games early in my life as well.
Did you ever check them out at the library or like Blockbuster? That's where I got all my computer games growing up. God.
Blockbuster went hard.
Yes.
For video games.
So hard.
But so, yeah. And then it was my mom who encouraged me to go outside of the country. And I was the first member of my immediate family to leave the country, which is really cool.
Where'd you go?
Costa Rica. It was part of an eco-teach thing. I caught leatherback turtle eggs.
What?
When they were an endangered species, I physically caught them to then place them somewhere else to prevent from poachers getting them.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't think that you're a real person. I think you've come here from heaven. You're an angel.
No, I've definitely lived an incredibly filled life full of all kinds of experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
The only thing I don't have is an incredible amount of money.
But how many skills and all of the... I think it's better to have experiences than money.
Yeah.
I think there was a study that I read, and I couldn't quote many stats from it, but it was about people who were terminally ill or like getting older and about their happiness, and they talked about, do you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're nodding. That they that the happier people had more experiences than money, and another factor was their friends having people around them that they liked and who loved them.
Yeah, it's funny because my mom used to joke all the time as a kid. I'd burned a hole in my pocket because I'd just buy a ton of gifts
for
my
other
family
people.
And friends. And
that's so nice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you do so much charity work. You're like very philanthropic, and you recently were raising money for the fires.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Talk to us about your charity.
Oh my gosh. Where to begin?
Yeah, you have a long, long list.
I mean, we go down to like volunteering when I was a kid. Like, yeah, we would go to retirement communities.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it was a weird kind of glee club or whatever I was a part of, but we'd go there and we'd like hang out with them, and we put on a show or a play or something.
Mm-hmm.
I vaguely remember all of this, but we did it for like all the time in elementary school. And at the time it was really weird because I both hated it and loved it at the same time. Mm-hmm. I hated doing the performance part, which is crazy because I want to be an actor and I want to be on stage.
Uh-huh.
But I think it was because it was singing or something. And then, but I loved like, I don't know, I'd find like one person that was there that hearing their story or playing a random game with them. And you realize like, even though like you're a kid and they're older, there's so much reward that goes both directions of that. And it's not just they provide wisdom and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think wisdom comes with age. I think wisdom comes with experience.
Totally.
And the argument is then, well, with age, you tend to have more experiences. But it was just the wholesome interaction that occurred of being able to talk to somebody and you don't even know who they are. You don't have any background, but then you hear their story and they ask what you're up to and what you're doing. And I think the older mind and the younger mind are so similar because you're developing and the older mind is regressing. Mm. And so you have this similarity in the sense that you're on the same wavelength in some capacity.
You like pass each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then your youth, they also feed off of, and you feed off of their wisdom or their stories.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fascinating. I have a grandpa that is not blood related. It's actually, he passed away a number of years ago, but I still remember to this day, he was a tickle monster. But he would also scare me because he'd take his teeth out.
Oh, yeah. I had one of those too.
Terrifying. So as a kid, terrifying.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
Truly, truly. Well, you've worked on so many projects. You've done Extra Life. You did the Tiltify campaigns. You did charity work for the Altadena fires.
Yep, that was through AmeriCares, St. Jude, Crisis Text Line, Trevor Project, No Kid Hungry. Oh my God, there are too many to count. United Network for Organ Sharing, mm-hmm. which is the network that has like aligns transplants. So mm-hmm. kidney transplants, mm-hmm. heart transplants, stuff like that. Project Hope.
Mm-hmm.
United Way.
A lot.
American Heart Association. Oh my God. I can't even name all of them. National Kidney Foundation, Lupus Foundation. I already said AmeriCares.
Yeah. You
Save the Children.
So yeah, so many. You've dedicated so much time. It's really amazing. How do you choose what causes that you want to work with, and what's the process like?
So when I was running them for Mark, because I ran all of his charity stuff, we usually looked up what was kind of topical and what was important for us at the time, and we would then look up charities and how they ranked on Charity Navigator to make sure that the money actually went towards what they said it went towards, mm-hmm. which surprisingly, my most recent one is one of the most highly rated charities in the sense that like your donation, I think it's like 90 plus, like 99% goes to the actual where it's supposed to go.
For AmeriCare.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they help in natural disasters. They help with like free clinics across the U.S. And so part of the reason I wanted to raise for them is because we're running into a healthcare crisis right now.
Right.
And so that was part of it. But they also were here for the California wildfires and all the flooding. So really, it's kind of like what I'm feeling at the time. The one charity that I always go back to is St. Jude.
Mm-hmm.
Because my mom passed away from cancer, and the thing is with St. Jude, the innovations that they make, even though they're focused on childhood cancer, one, no family pays a dime.
Mm-hmm.
Two, the hospital is incredible. Doesn't feel like a hospital. But three, the advancements that they make go beyond children's cancer.
Yeah, yeah.
It goes into all cancer research and cures and treatments and everything else. I mean, they found treatment to cure the bubble boy syndrome just within the last few years. So that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times it's just thinking about what's important at the time, where I think money needs to go, and what I'm feeling. And then making sure that the money goes where it's supposed to go.
Yeah, which is very important and something that someone who isn't as well-versed in the space, I don't think will know to look out for. So
you want to hear a funny pet peeve of mine?
Sure.
You know how Twitch streamers
yes.
say when they get a tip, they call it a donation?
Yes.
Should not do that. It's a tip.
Right. The donation is, does for that make charity. It elite? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So when you use the term donation, it generally indicates contribution to a 501c3 organization.
Okay.
And so it's misleading if you say like your donation is going to you.
Right.
It's convoluted because it's always been that terminology, But in reality, because of tax purposes and everything else, it's a tip.
It's a tip. I've heard that before as well. I was warned to change the verbiage.
Yeah, because it can get you into some legal muddy water if somebody decides to complain.
That's interesting. That's a good tip for everybody to know, I think, who Twitch streams, that you're not supposed to say donation. You're supposed to say tip.
Yep. It's business sense and legal sense.
Right, right. The jargon.
Yay, law classes for my master's degree.
What else do you do? You're going to be like, well, I actually flew a helicopter here.
I do want to get my pilot's license.
I bet you do want to get your
pilot's license. I have my motorcycle license, but I don't have a motorcycle.
Do you? I think motorcycles are terrifying in California. Oh, they're terrifying in general, but...
Yeah, they're just too many road rage people.
Yeah, I prefer no one I know drive a motorcycle, so I try to be cool. When someone I know is like, I have my motorcycle license, I'm like, that's really exciting for you. Ah.
There's a reason I don't own a motorcycle. That said, <don't. laughs> I do bike around on my like e-bike, mm-hmm. but it's a pedal assist e-bike, and mm-hmm. I did get hit by a car in 2014, or
really?
2024.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, see? Exactly.
Exactly. It's okay. It's okay, though. It's only permanent damage. I only got knocked unconscious for 10 seconds.
Oh, my God.
Actually, I was incredibly lucky, so.
Really?
Oh, yeah. So they cut me off, and I hit the rear quarter panel just past their passenger rear door. Mm-hmm. So it's in the crunch zone, a dent zone. Mm. If they went faster, I'd hit off the bumper and go into traffic. If they went slower, I would have been through the window into the back seat of their car and against a door, which has less compact room.
Whoa.
And I hit head and forearm first. So I hit my forearm because I protect my head, and then my head hit. I only
That's
had
on a sports, I assume.
Yeah, my thick neck from wrestling and football. So all I ended up with was a bone bruise, a bad concussion because I didn't even know I got knocked unconscious, and then I have tendonitis in my left ankle.
Wow. I think that's all your good karma that you had farmed.
I think
from your whole life.
I think the universe was like, Tyler, your body falls apart enough. Let's let you chill.
Let's chill. let's keep you safe. Oh my God. That's crazy. I want to go back to you saying that you were terrified of being on stage when you were young.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Was it because there was singing involved, or was it
I have
a
horrible stage
thing?
Fright.
Okay.
Which is really funny because I've always been told I'm a great public speaker.
You are.
I am so nervous.
And you do podcasts. We talked about this before we started as well. But
oh my God.
You do podcasts, you do streaming, and you do acting. So where does the stage fright come in?
It's usually so, and I'm doing the improv tour, it happened every time. But the thing is with the improv like show, the crowd disappears.
Mm.
It becomes just me and my friends having fun on stage. Mm-hmm. You hear them laugh, you hear them have fun and stuff. But me going on stage is something I'm facing this year. I want to take a stand-up comedy class and do stand-up. When it's just me alone, terrified.
Yeah.
Terrified.
Yeah.
And I used to,
I get it.
The funniest part is I used to be even like more fearful on camera.
Mm-hmm. I get that too.
And so it's just experience and time again. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then also like most people when they hear themselves, because it doesn't sound the same as through your bones.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear yourself, you don't like the way it sounds.
Right.
And you eventually get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
Over time, seeing yourself, all of that doesn't stop you from judging yourself or saying one thing or another, but you do get used to it and it does get easier.
Yeah.
But I still am absolutely terrified when you step on stage.
Really? Even now?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But I learned a trick recently.
Okay. I'd love to hear it.
It's thanks to Mark.
Okay.
The only people that whose opinion you take or ask for is usually the people that you care about or that care about you.
Mm-hmm.
So why are we so afraid of what other people's opinions are if we don't know them? And so why do I care if somebody finds me funny when I have friends that care and think I'm funny?
Yeah, I think that is logical and correct, but hard to put into practice sometimes.
It's the way I've gotten away from like people who nag at you on the internet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or complain because I don't know them.
I don't know you.
They also don't know me well enough to have a formed opinion.
That is so true. That is so true. I feel like we have a very similar type of stage fright because I also stream, but I was telling you that as soon as I started doing the podcast, when someone else was operating the cameras, I think it's a control thing because when I stream, I'm in charge of everything. I see everything. I know what's going on. But when someone else is operating the camera and I am just
existing
performing whatever you want to call it and potentially wasting people's time, like I don't want to get it wrong and waste somebody's time, I think is what stresses me out the most, and also not knowing what things look like and that the control of it all, I think I've come to realize is a big part of it. I have gotten a lot better, I'd say, since the first time we did this. There's like a super cut that Ryan put together of me fumbling the Patreon like ad insert of me being, there was like three sentences I needed to say and I couldn't get it out no matter how hard I tried.
You know what's funny?
What?
Still so hard for me.
It's hard. It's hard. It really is.
I'm so much better at riffing than reading somebody's verbatim lines or what they want you to say.
Yeah.
Because generally it's not in your own voice.
Mm-hmm.
The way that you would say it would be completely different. So it becomes harder because it feels like you have to force it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I also have a hard time on stage as well. I will be at a con and be like a judge or for a contest or something and have to get on stage, and I will dread the moment that the host puts the microphone in my face and is like, so what are you looking for in this competition? I'm like, suddenly I have no thoughts, no opinions, no feelings. I've got nothing to contribute.
My answer, because I imagine it's cosplay, would just be good cosplay.
Good job.
It makes me think of like when coaches are interviewed like at halftime and they're losing, it's like, well, we need to play better.
Yeah, it's exactly. Like,
what do you expect them to say?
Exactly. Stresses me out so badly, so I so get it. But that's also why I started doing more voice acting, because while I am still terrified to be on camera, like turn my camera on if I'm doing like a directed thing, it's much more freeing to be in a box by myself than it is to be like on stage or something else.
Yeah. I just, you know, it's funny. People are like, just imagine them naked. I'm like, that makes me more uncomfortable.
Way more uncomfortable.
Oh my God.
How do I react to them?
Yeah.
Do I shouldn't make it a big deal because then it would freak them out. I should be cool about this.
Yeah. It's like, chill, you know, it's just normal.
It's they're just naked. It's okay. Where do I look? Where?
You're naked. I'm afraid. New TV show.
Write that down. That's what I was saying. Well, that's, I mean, it's, the human brain is so funny and interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Well, the illogical fears that all of us have.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have like a greatest fear, an illogical greatest fear? Because mine is being underwater in the ocean.
I'm not as afraid of the ocean. I am like, I'm claustrophobic, but not like, I can be in a crowded train and be okay.
Mm-hmm.
But the instant it's like, I'm completely restricted movement wise.
Yeah. It's
horrible.
Terrible. It's horrible.
And I think it comes from when I was a kid, and I don't want to blame my dad for this, but maybe. my dad would like go down on all fours and we'd like ride his back like a slide crawl under him like a tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
And every once in a while he'd just collapse on us. I hated it. Mm-hmm. And so I'd panic and I'd freak out. Mm-hmm. And so like, you know, those cave videos where people are crawling through incredibly tight spaces,
mm-hmm.
horribly anxiety.
Yeah. I don't like that either.
I cannot do caves. I'd like, oh, being the thought of being buried alive, horrifying.
Yeah.
All of that. Just all no. All of it. Big
no. I know exactly what feeling you're talking about, and I also hate it.
So there's a place not far from where I grew up called Mammoth Cave. I believe it's in Kentucky. And it's a giant cave, but they have like crawl spaces and different stuff. And my brother eventually convinced me to go into this crawl space. And I said, I'll be fine as long as I can keep moving forward, mm-hmm. which I would have been. Kid in front of me stopped. My brother's behind me. I start freaking out. Mm-hmm. When I freak out and I know there's people that just need to move for me, I swing. So I was punching this kid, telling him to move forward.
The crash out.
Oh my
God. That's Apocalypto. That's not Tyler.
Oh my God. And then because he wouldn't move, I ended up accidentally not physically kicking my brother in the face, but I kicked him in the face and told him to back up, and I had to get out.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Eventually my brother moved and let me out. But
oh my God.
Oh, I was like, nope, we're done.
Yeah, that's valid to me, honestly.
Yeah.
That's valid.
Yeah. Because it was his fault.
It was his fault. Listen,
why do you stop?
You had one job.
Everything is fine if you keep moving. I bet you that kid was also freaking out, but
yeah,
just keep moving, dude.
I wonder if the kid in front of him stopped and it wasn't up to him. And
yeah.
He just got wailed on.
Looking back on it now, I feel really bad, but at the time I felt so justified.
Hey, listen,
I was in the right. I was the hero. Right.
yep exactly.
Oh man, which is really funny because I have a fear of heights, mm-hmm. but I love climbing. I was climbing trees after my brother when I was in diapers. Like, and
that's
I'm
crazy.
Like, I love rock climbing. I free soloed rock climbed the Flatirons in Colorado with my brother, which is terrifying. If I fall, I die because there's no rope, no harness, nothing.
Right. At this point, I think you're making stuff up. I just want to throw that out there.
I have pictures of it. It's on Instagram if somebody wants to check.
No, I believe you. I believe you.
But yeah, but I'm also very smart about it. It's like, I won't do things unless I feel capable of them.
Yeah. Crazy. I like that you are challenging yourself. You're like, I am afraid of heights, but then I did this crazy thing to be better. Like, it seems like you're always bettering yourself. You're 2026. no putting yourself down. That's very, very admirable. I think that what I've come to realize since we've been talking is that a lot of my goals are very outward instead of inward, which is interesting. An interesting observation that I'm making.
Well, it's nothing wrong with that. I've just gone through enough of my life where I had a big disdain for myself, which a lot of people don't realize that I probably had. And so I've been working on trying to be happier in my existence. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of been something. And years ago was facing my fears. And that was trying to, like, I put myself in claustrophobic situations. I was in a crawl space, like helping my dad do work, or climbing. I went paragliding with my brother, who's a world-class paraglider, which is crazy because, like, I don't really think I have a fear of heights anymore. Mm-hmm. But I do, like, when I look down and I'm on the rock wall, I'm scared. Mm-hmm. But like, I'm able to mute that adrenaline rush, mm-hmm. because I know that it's in my hands.
Right.
Which is funny because my brother hates this, and probably a lot of people think it's really dumb, but I feel more confident when I don't have the equipment than I do with it. Because Why? The equipment feels in my way, but my logic tells me it's there and it will save me and it's thoroughly tested. But I'm mm-hmm. such a person who's like, I don't like trusting
other
equipment. I like trusting my own hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that said, like, I'm not going to climb El Cap and do what Alex Honnold did. Nowhere to the level Alex Honnold is. So, who also is a phenomenal human being who came on my podcast. That was really fun.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's so cool. Well, yeah, I mean, I think that that's an incredible mindset to have just in life in general, is to be pushing yourself to be better all the time. Very cool. Very inspiring. I want to talk about your podcast.
Okay.
Because we have to talk about sports at some point. To my dismay. I did play sports in high school.
What sports?
I did track. I did the 200 and the 110 hurdles.
Okay, nice.
I did soccer. Okay. I did like 6 years of soccer, and I did like 4 years of flag football.
Oh, nice.
So I say I don't like sports. I do enjoy sports, but yeah. I think it's the act of watching and cheering and all that that gets me. I don't know why. I like playing the sport. That's what it is.
You want to hear a spoiler?
Yeah.
I don't watch like any sports anymore unless really? I go to the game.
No way.
And so like I love going to baseball games, mm-hmm. but like I didn't watch a single NFL game this year except for when my dad had it on and I was watching with him. Mm-hmm. I don't go out of my way to watch sports. I pay attention to the news. Mm-hmm. Podcast listeners will be like, oh, Tyler's not a sports fan. I spent so much of my life studying sports to where I had to watch sports to do current events and different stuff through my master's degree to understand advertising, to understand all of this stuff mm-hmm. that I actually got burned out. And then I actually felt jaded towards the sports industry when okay. I got my degree and I couldn't find a job.
Right.
So the reason the podcast came about was because Mark brought up that this was a part of his of my life that he never knew anything about.
Was the sports stuff.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And I realized that there was no gateway for people who didn't grow up with sports mm-hmm. to understand and have an interest in sports.
Right. Yeah.
And so we created Go My Favorite Sports Team as the gateway to bring the people that grew up as nerds and who were generally, a lot of them probably bullied by people who played sports.
Yeah.
To then realize that there's not much of difference between the jocks and the nerds. They're just nerds about different things.
They're just playing different games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it was our way to like create a gateway for people to find sports. And I grew up with sports cause I loved being active and I was in a better mindset when I was active. So like I played soccer, I wrestled, I played baseball. I played water polo. I swam, which I didn't swim competitively until my senior year of college. Did I say football?
I think so.
Okay. But I was best at baseball.
I don't know why I thought that about you, but I thought that about you. I was putting together, I have a game we're going to play in a second, but I was wondering what sports you were like your sports.
Okay.
And I thought baseball just based on vibes.
That's funny.
That was right.
That's really funny. I was a pitcher and center fielder. And just before high school, like junior high age, I was one of the best outfielders in the entire city.
Wow.
And relief pitchers. Yeah.
I feel like you have the mindset to be like one of the best, if not the best at everything you do. Also inspiring. I'm going to compliment you. It's the year of positive self-talk.
This is positive talk towards me. You need to be positive but talk towards you.
Okay, hey, calm down over there. I get to compliment you. Well, congratulations on 200 episodes.
Oh, wow. Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome. I heard you say a stat because I watched a little bit of your 200th episode that was it like 47% of podcasts don't
make it past the third episode.
Is it? Wow. I thought it was more than that.
No.
They don't make it past the third episode? That's crazy.
So welcome. You've made it past the third episode.
I've made it past the third episode.
You have beat the statistics.
I think we're on like 48 or something like that right okay. now.
When you get to 100, it drops to like 5-something%.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, we have to make it to 100.
So 200 was 4.3% of podcasts make it to that many.
Wow.
I think that was the exact stat.
That's crazy.
Also, my memory can be ridiculous at times.
Yeah, well, that's another reason for congratulations. That is so exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, that was really cool.
On the podcast, do you teach, explain the podcast in like an elevator pitch?
Okay. So sports exists all over the world. It's ingrained in society. But so many people have a disdain for sports and a dislike for sports. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people have that because they don't know sports. They've never been introduced to it. Mm-hmm. ESPN, every time you turn it on, has jargon talking about stats, talking about this or that.
Yeah.
Everywhere in the world, when they talk about sports, is talked in the terms of sports. Mm-hmm. If you didn't grow up with it, you have no clue what they're talking about. It's a completely different language. Mm-hmm. My podcast is about bridging the gap. It's about bringing in people that don't know about sports so that they can understand a sport and potentially find one that they would enjoy playing or watching. Mm-hmm. The goal is to connect people. People that grew up, they know somebody. Maybe their dad is a big sports fan and they never liked sports. All of a sudden, they're able to connect with their dad because they know a little bit.
Yeah.
And the thing that I think is lacking in a lot of places in the world is the inability to understand somebody else's passion. Mm-hmm. And you lose out on the excitement in hearing about something they're passionate about. Mm-hmm. And so the goal of the podcast is for me to teach Mark sports, and in doing so, make other people have the ability to learn without realizing it, mm-hmm. be entertained, and be able to connect with people who are sports knowers.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think you're doing the Lord's work, to be honest with you, because I think there is a disdain for sports. It depending on who you talk to, it could be like a dirty word almost. Mm-hmm. So what are your is each episode a different sport, or how is it?
We have what are called primers that are basically a beginner's guide to the sport, mm-hmm. with plenty of mistakes made by myself. Mm-hmm. Some of which are intentional, because we want people to engage and interact.
Sure, sure, sure. Love a rage bait.
One of the first episodes is why I think Tom Brady is not the greatest quarterback of all time.
Really?
And that's a rage bait. But then we'll have like news topics. We'll talk about what's happening in the world of news. But we'll also talk about random stuff and decide whether it's a sport or not, or explain something. We talked about the strike for the Actors Guild. Mm-hmm. That was an episode that we've done. So we try and stay in tune with sports and how it relates to the real world, as well as bringing up like funny, silly things. Mm-hmm. So for Valentine's Day, one year we did, is sex a sport? One year it was, is dating a sport? Like,
wait, I want to know the answer. Do we have to watch the podcast to find out?
You have to listen and watch the episode.
Damn. What about the people who ride the hobby horses?
Hobby horsing is a sport.
Is a sport.
As a person, the horse people will be so mad at me.
Okay.
I think it's more of a sport than most equestrian events. And the reason being is, as a person who's ridden a horse, it takes an incredible amount of strength for certain ones. Mm-hmm. But there's plenty of ones where the horse can do it without the rider. No offense, but dressage, that horse knows the majority of the routine. Barrel racing, believe it or not, the horses will run and do the barrel race without the rider. But the difference in that one is the horse is moving. Like you gotta really hold on and be on that horse. Mm-hmm. Dressage, you're dancing. You're sitting upright, all fancy. It doesn't require that much.
And you think hobby horsing is,
oh my God,
more intense.
They have dressage, but they're doing the steps. They have high jump, mm-hmm. and they're jumping and holding the horse and basically doing a high jump hurdle, mm-hmm. while holding a hobby horse. Like, it's basically like a crazy intense leg workout.
It is.
If you've ever gone to the gym, there's an exercise called monster walks where you put a band strap around your legs and you walk and you're in a squat the whole time. Mm-hmm. That burns like crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
They do that constantly.
I feel like we should try. We should do an episode of your podcast where we do hobby horsing.
Yeah. Or we can just do hobby horsing on your channel.
Or that. Yeah, we could.
We can cosplay and hobby horse.
Yeah, on Uma Musume.
Yeah,
we
there
can
you
be
go.
Horse girls. I have the costume already.
Horse girl me up, I
Let's
guess.
Let's go. Oh my God. Do you have any tips about running such a long running podcast on how to not burn out?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is to keep evolving. I think a lot of people go into a podcast without thinking about structure and how they want it to exist. Mm-hmm. And thus, in a lot of ways, it fails because they're like, let's just talk. And then you're just like, I don't know what to talk about today.
Yeah.
You need to have some sort of structure and some form of commitment. And then also make it something you enjoy. Mm-hmm. More than anything, I think people are out to make money. And you take so much away from your creative mind when you're just focused on money. And people read that. Mm-hmm. This podcast that Mark actually convinced me to do it is for us to be able to hang out and for him to see a part of me that he never understood. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's a way for me to have an outlet to share with the world my knowledge of sport and be able to bring people to find sports that they could potentially love or enjoy. Mm-hmm. So it's a passion project. As much as I was against it at the beginning and as much as I like beat myself up and was critical of myself, I've evolved and learned that just have fun. Mm-hmm. And if I have fun, regardless of what the topic is, and roll with the punches or roll with whatever comes, that's what matters.
Yeah. Do you find that those episodes are better performing anyway?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think so too.
We had one where Mark just randomly brought over our editors from, they're from Portugal. It was Lixian and Nervly. I almost combined their names. I almost said Lixily.
They're couple name.
Their ship.
Yeah.
By the way, don't ship real people. Anyway. And it was just so funny. Nervly, one, I don't think you've ever witnessed a laughing fit of mine. Goes crazy.
I believe it.
I have like 50 different laughs and I get trapped in laughter.
Really?
Nervly has a funny laugh, so he makes me laugh because of his funny laugh.
Uh-huh.
And so
I see the cycle.
And then Lixian is just a character. His reactions are phenomenal. And the funniest thing is I just saw him today. He was nervous, but he did such a great job. Even like I knew he was nervous, but it played so well into the comedy and the humor of it. And it was just a silly episode because Mark just was like, I have an idea. And he just randomly brought them to the studio and I had a plan. And I was like, all right, out the window. We're doing this random thing. Uh-huh. So little sports related. We were quizzing them on American football where they know nothing about it. And it was amazing. So funny. It was so good.
What is something that you would quiz somebody on? I'm curious if I know. I want to see if I have any sports knowledge.
You'd have to pick
quiz
a sport.
Quiz me on the spot. Probably football.
You want to do football?
Yeah.
All right. What is the length of the football field?
Oh, shit. I don't know.
There are two acceptable answers because there's the true length and the length that everybody knows and assumes it is.
I don't know. I want to say like 100 yards.
100 yards is the acceptable answer.
Okay.
But to have the full size of the field,
uh-huh,
it's 120 because you have to include both end zones.
Okay. Wow. I can't believe I got that right. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I'm proud of myself. What about, is there like a standout episode that you've done or anything like a weird sports fact that you have carried with you from doing the podcast?
I think my favorite one and the one that I think people don't realize and relates to a lot is sports in our language. Have you ever heard the term rain check?
Yeah.
Do you know the origin of that?
No.
It was from when baseball games were rained out, you would actually be given a check as a rain check for a ticket for a future game.
Oh.
So when they replayed that game, you would have your rain check to come back. Mm-hmm. So when your friend tells you, oh, well, I'm busy, can I have a rain check?
That comes from baseball. Wow. I didn't know that. That's
chomping
so
at
cool.
the bit. It's uh-huh. from horse racing.
Interesting.
Because the bit is what goes in the horse's mouth.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That is really interesting. There are so many little nuances of the English language that I didn't realize were weird until I moved here, I think, or at least got to college and was around a bunch of people from different places,
mm-hmm,
that would actually question those types of things. And it's interesting to hear about where they all come from.
Yeah. So sports in our language is really fun because all of a sudden you're like, no, that can't be from that. Oh, it is.
Yeah. Never even thought about where rain check came from.
Yep. It was literally due to rain.
Wow. Well, that's so interesting. I want to know more. Rose, do you have any more?
I do. I mean, boxing terms, Saved by the Bell. Mm. Let's see. What are some of the other ones that I can think of? I mean, people use fumble all the time, but that's a football term. Everybody knows that's a football term. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's a few ones, but I can't like think of one of the craziest ones that I even discovered when I first started. But it's really fascinating. Like, a lot of them come from baseball. There's a lot from baseball, but like below the belt, it's a boxing term. Mm. Low blow is also there. I already said chomping at the bit.
Yeah, that's...
There's a few other ones.
Wildly interesting. It becomes existential almost, because you're like, where did everything come from? Mm-hmm. Where did language come from?
Which came first, thought or language?
Yeah, I don't know. Do you know?
No, but the only reason I think thought came first is because not everyone has an inner monologue.
Yeah, I don't.
I do.
You do.
Everything I think is said in my own voice in my head.
I don't do that. And I am so confused that people do that. But then I found out that I was the minority in this situation.
Actually, I think it's the opposite.
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's like, it's really close. It's like close to 50-50. Oh, I think the stat is the other way.
I have never met, I've only met one other person that I know that I've talked about this with that doesn't have an inner monologue either.
Do you know about aphantasia?
That is where you can see colors of music?
No, it's where you can't visualize stuff in your head.
Oh,
so yes, like I can take and visualize the shape of an apple and change the texture, put a bite in it, everything, and rotate it.
I can't do that either.
Yeah, so you have aphantasia.
That's yeah, okay. I do know what you're talking about. The 1 through 5, the chart of like what you see when you picture an apple. Yeah. Mine is fuzzy. It's the fuzzy one.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Because I can picture the word and spin it around. I can make it the logo. I can change it into everything.
That's
and anything.
That's so weird.
Like Ditto in my head turns into a slime ball and it's sludge moving around. I can visualize everything.
Yeah.
Change the color. Like right now it's green.
I wonder if there's a correlation between an inner monologue and needing to have music playing in the background, because I've got nothing.
That's true.
Maybe that's why I need background music all the time. And you're like, I'm cool with silence because you can hear a voice.
It's also crazy because I can get overwhelmed when there's music, when there's talking, when there's something else going on. Mm-hmm. I get overstimulated. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But that's because I'm a little bit autistic. Mm-hmm. But also, I think because there's just so much going on in my head.
Yeah.
And so when there's too much input, I get overwhelmed.
I do as well. But it's not because of my inner monologue. I think it's because of ADHD. I'm not sure.
You could be also a little bit on the autism spectrum.
Maybe. I've never
got
checked.
I argue everyone is, but...
I think that, I mean, you have to be somewhere on the spectrum, right?
Well, yeah.
Well, thank you for joining me today.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it. It was very fun talking to you. I will be billing you for my therapy session.
Wait, I thought I was supposed to be billing you.
We can bill each other, I think.
Do we counter each other out or not?
Yeah, I don't know.
Who bills more?
That's a good question. Who has more experience? I think you do. By a lot, actually. Well, do you have anything new and exciting on the horizon?
Yeah, I've got a number of things that I've been working on and cooking up. One, like I said, I want to get that music out. I want to complete that song. I have streams coming up, live streaming more, more YouTube videos and travel content, hopefully, as I evolve my YouTube channel into that.
Yay, amazing. Yeah. And where can everyone find you online?
At @apocalypto_12 or @TylerScheid, TylerScheid.
Yes.
I'm not spelling apocalyptic. You got to figure it out.
Yeah, you got to sound that one out, you guys. Amazing. Well, thank you for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
I appreciate your time. As a producer, actor, writer, director, what is your Letterboxd top four?
Oh, God.